Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Let's do it.
Former translator for Shohei Ohtani. One of the ways that he stole from him is he changed the settings on Ohtani's bank account so Ohtani would not receive alerts and confirmations about transactions.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Is that really a way that you can make sure that somebody doesn't see $4.5 million is gone?
Earlier on the show, ESPN baseball reporter Alden Gonzalez. Still to come, UConn guard Cam Spencer, New York Times best-selling author Don Winslow, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air, and a Masters Friday, everybody, which means this weekend there's rain in the forecast here in Southern California. Perfect Masters viewing weather here in Los Angeles,
perfect.
California.
Couldn't be better.
Looks like a beautiful day there at Augusta National.
Windy. It's gonna rain.
Let me just tell you something. I mean,
really windy at Augusta right now.
Is there I understand that CBS and ESPN make it look beautiful too with their camera work. But is there a more picturesque sports venue anywhere? Seriously.
Anywhere.
You know what my default is.
Rose Bowl at dusk, right? As the sun's coming down?
Rose Bowl at dusk, sun coming down.
Yeah.
But just looking at this golf course, it makes you stop. It just looks, it's as green as it.
Green doesn't look greener than it does at Augusta.
Augusta National. Like pink. And then the yellow flags kind of
The yellow
stick out.
Doesn't look more yellow than at Augusta. The pink doesn't look pinker than on the azaleas at Augusta.
Yesterday when I was reading the 37-page Ippe Mitsuhara affidavit, which is what I do with my life, while watching
the lead pipe wielding professional.
That's me.
Yeah.
While I was reading that, watching the final hour of sunlight for the first round coverage on ESPN, I was watching Tiger go through his final swings of the day. At one point, Tiger took out a water bottle, and it's like one of those water bottles from the Masters. It's the Masters logo on the side. It's a clear plastic water bottle that you normally see anywhere, and the Masters logo on the side. I even said the water bottles look nice. they even have nice looking water bottles.
Like, can I get one of those?
Yeah, like I don't even want to, you know, I don't even want to throw it out, or I don't want to recycle it. You know what I mean? I don't want to recycle it.
I would just put it.
I would finish it, and I'd put it on the
Put it up here.
Honestly, I would save it.
I shamelessly just threw it out there. I was like, if anybody following me is going to the Masters, send me a DM. I have merch store requests.
Have you gotten any DMs?
I got no DMs.
Well, say it again. Now they'll know.
And let me just also say this. Let me give some flowers to my former employer. ESPN's coverage the last couple of days. Have you noticed how many different ESPN on-air hosts and analysts are there? Have you noticed that?
Huge par save per Tiger on 9.
Thank you. But have you noticed?
No,
I have. They upped it this year.
Well, and in our business, in our television sports TV business, the number of contractions that you are seeing across our business right now, cost cutting, money saving, calling sporting events from time zones away because we're not sending our crew there when we can cover it from our home base and save some money here. ESPN is sending everybody there. They have, what do you think? They've got about 50 on-air people there, it feels like?
A spare no expense, yeah.
And it's kudos kind of to them for doing
kind of
that.
It's the traditional guys you all see there, SVP and Michael Collins, the cat, former caddy. But they added Laura Rutledge. She's on a separate set interviewing all the celebs who are rolling through. Aikman. I saw Rex Ryan's coming on in a minute.
I just saw Matt Barry was talking to Andy North. Pardon me. I should say he's two-time U.S. Open winner Andy North. That's the way I always introduced him back in the day on SportsCenter. Unless it was at the U.S. Open, then he's Andy North, two-time winner of this event. That's the way you have to describe him.
They added Jeff Darlington. He's doing a bunch of essay work. Like, it's really awesome.
And I understand with the Masters, you have to put your best foot forward because they can easily just call you up and say, "Yeah, our relationship is over."
Mm-hmm.
Do they go year to year with CBS? Like, still nobody knows. It's like Fight Club. So. You don't talk about it.
I don't think so, but I'm not sure if it's.
But
like
kudos
out there.
To them, yeah. Honestly. In this day, I just remember when I did. I mention this the other day. I think I remember. No, this was off air. But when I did the Tokyo Gold show for Peacock, which I loved. My God, that was a blast. But I did that from Connecticut.
Yeah, you did a great job with that, man.
Oh, thank you. But everybody did. The crew was spectacular. The NBC sports crew they put together was spectacular.
Just shows your versatility as a host. Thank you. You're able to take on so many
different
things.
No, really. This is really amazing. You shouldn't.
Stuff.
Guys, stop.
Just total, statue worthy.
Oh, my God. But then there was also this room where they would call, where people would be calling the events that were happening in Japan from Connecticut. And that's the way a lot's going on in our business these days.
Right.
And so to see everybody there, he could have easily done a lot of this stuff. Let's go back to our Bristol studios to give us the update or whatever. Everybody's there.
Yep.
Good for them. At any rate, just wanted to mention that. Okay. I've noticed things that I've noticed, as Larry would go, okay. Should I transition like Larry every single time?
I'm wearing a Larry shirt.
Yeah, you're wearing the LD shirt.
I'm wearing the
Larry golf shirt. Larry golf shirt. Where'd you get that?
Susie just brought it in.
There you go. Yeah.
We got it.
I was about to say.
I'll take it.
It looks familiar. Yeah. It used to be in my closet.
Well, I'll take it.
You took.
Well, it was here. I didn't take it out of your closet. I didn't go full Jermaine Fowler and just take from the closet.
Yeah.
It was here.
Because we got two the night of the premiere. Evening.
Yeah, they did a collaboration.
So Suze gave you the shirt,
with
huh?
Malbon, who, if you've seen Jason Day's outfits, he's a Malbon athlete now. They're crossing into the PGA Tour world.
Yes.
I'm wearing the Larry David Curb golf shirt.
So have you heard of a podcast called Deep Cut with Vic Blends?
Yes.
You have?
Vic Blends is huge on TikTok, Rich. He's a really great kid. He goes around. He will... just offer free haircuts to people on the street. Great barber. I mean, he's almost as good as Benny Blades, but you
understood.
Know. And he'll interview them, and he'll just do interviews with people, giving them free haircuts. He's very uplifting, very positive kid, man.
Glad to hear it.
Cool, yeah.
Glad to hear that he would then be deserving of having Tom Brady sit in his chair for his podcast.
Yep.
That just happened, and that's. It's making the rounds.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Because Vic asked him point blank. He gave him the "is the door closed" question.
I love it.
He gave him the "are you really, really, really retired" question.
Yeah, because
I don't mean to paraphrase, but here is that exchange from the pod.
We get it. You're 100% retired.
Yes.
Let's say one day there's a situation, right? Maybe it's the 49ers. Maybe heading to the playoffs. Offense is great.
Patriots, somebody, Raiders, look, could be, you never know.
God forbid somebody goes down, would you pick up that phone?
I'm not opposed to it. If they would, I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner in the NFL team, but I don't know if, I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
You know what that means? Do you know what that means?
So you're saying?
Do you know what that means?
there's a chance.
Let's dust it off from the Rich Eisen Show production archives. Hit it.
I plead the fifth.
It's time for a TB12 heat check.
I forgot about this.
I just want everyone.
It's been a minute.
I want everyone to know when we first broke this out 2 years ago, I told you guys it was 12 out of 12, and you laughed at me. And what happened? He played that year. He's a one right now. It's a one.
He's not coming back.
It's a one.
Well, he's not wrong in the fact that if, in fact, he does wind up getting a piece of the Las Vegas Raiders, he will have his chess piece as a player removed from the board, which, by the way,
they could vote and let him play. They could vote.
But let me ask you this question.
They could vote?
Excuse me. Let me ask you this question.
Yeah, the answer is yes. You want to know why? Tom Brady is good for business.
Excuse me, sir. Let's just say he just said you are the 49ers. By the way, interesting choice. Vic, nice choice.
He almost played for them last year.
I get it. And then I love how Tom's like Patriots, because I'm sure, you know, hey, you got to go home again.
He's getting retired.
He's getting retired. Like, you know what I mean? There'll be a red jacket. There's going to be the whole business. There'll be a statue. I get it. And then he mentions the Raiders. But let's just get Niners, right? Let's say somehow the Niners wind up in this situation that Vic just laid out, okay? Where they've suddenly run out of quarterbacks again. Wow, that's crazy. The injury bug hits them like crazy again. They're out of quarterbacks again. And they call up Tom Brady, and already he's now a member of the Raiders, okay?
Ownership,
right? If you're Stan Kroenke, do you vote to allow him to come back? Hell no. If you are Jody Allen of the Seahawks, if you are Michael Bidwell of the Cardinals, do you raise your hand and say, sure, it's good for the league.
Yes.
Come on. No.
Why?
Chris, put yourself, because you're not letting Tom Brady come to the rescue for the 49ers when you can block it.
Oh,
he's not the majority owner. He's going to own like 2%.
Does it matter?
Who cares?
What do you mean, who cares?
Who cares? You're out of nowhere.
Who's he hurting?
He's making everyone money
to make the Super Bowl.
Guess what? Clearly, owners, we know, don't care about that.
Which is
Dallas. Yeah. All they care about is the money in their pocket, and Tom Brady makes money for everyone.
Guess what, Chris? The piece of whatever you'd get for Tom Brady raising the boat of a rating, or whatever you would get, the piece of a Tom Brady, 12 jersey,
food,
all of that,
ticket sales,
does not compare to you taking the trophy in your hand and putting it in the case and having a parade in your town. The money you get from that would eclipse whatever the hell 1/32nd of Tom Brady's raising of all boats. And plus, you have to put yourself in the ownership position, which is you don't want to let the Niners off the hook in this situation. As a matter of fact, right now, I would preemptively just say, Tom, you want a piece of the Raiders? Take it. Yes, I'll raise my hand now to take your piece off the board. I don't want you coming back.
Then why are they all complaining and holding it up then?
Well, I mean, because right now it's about money, and they probably don't think he really wants to play, which, by the way, might not be. That's a four-dimensional chess play. Let me sit down and Vic Blend's chair and start talking about, you know what, I kind of like to play still.
I'm always going to be in shape.
I think I can throw. I'm always in shape, but they might not let me if I'm an owner. That's potential five-dimensional chess by Tom Brady.
Brady, thinking.
TB12.
Thinking. Oh,
you don't want to, you think that maybe Mark Davis is taking, if you will, a haircut? By the way, Mark Davis, I'd like to see him in Vic Blend's chair.
Mark Davis needs to make an appointment with Vic.
Now that is a deep cut. I would see that pod.
Yeah. Does Vic Blend have a bowl?
Right there. Right there.
Is
that a Vic cut? Is that would Vic say yes to that?
Don't disrespect my man Vic Blend.
Okay.
No.
Now, you know, so Mark's taking a figurative haircut.
Vic would have
giving Tom a haircut. And thus suddenly, you know, honestly, you want your home value to go up? Would you want your neighbor to cut the price of his or her house? That affects your real estate value, does
it's
it not?
A bit different,
so no, it's not. You're not going to be. You're not going to allow somebody to sell a piece of a team that affects what you can maybe sell your team for. Nuh-uh. Right now, that's what it's about. But all of a sudden, Tom's like, "Huh, I'm thinking of coming back. If I get a phone call next November, I might be coming to your division, owner X, Y, and Z. Maybe you should give me that piece of the Raiders I'm looking for."
Better
Tom
hurry.
Brady, everybody.
Hurry up and
you want to talk
yes.
about heat check? Let's see that one more time. Now that is a heat check, baby.
Man's just playing chess is what
Let
you're saying.
Let me see
right?
that one
hurry
more time. Hit
yes.
it. Hit it.
I plead the fifth. I plead
it's
the
time fifth. For a TB12 heat check.
All right.
I plead the fifth.
It's been a while.
One.
Tom Brady's out there playing chess and everyone else is playing checkers.
We're at one right now.
We're at one.
Not even a two, Chris?
You're being generous. You're being generous to even put it at a one.
We're at one. And we only deal in full numbers, no fractions.
Yeah, you don't want me to come back and prevent your team from winning a division, making a Super Bowl? Maybe you should give me a piece of the Raiders and take me off the board. Love it. That's next level stuff. 844-204-RICH.
Come goats.
Number to dial on the program. Let's take a break. And when we come back, a national champion. UConn Husky is going to be joining us on this program. Cam Spencer, fifth-year senior, at the end of his tenure, about to join us to talk about cutting down nets.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian, and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just simply stop by. Good stuff going on right here, man. What's the update right now on the leaderboard for the Masters before we get to our next guest?
Bryson DeChambeau gave one back, Rich. So he is down to six. Max Homa, your solo leader through nine at seven under par. Scottie Scheffler. Also, six under. He's
about to tee off
in about 27 minutes.
Okay. Speaking of teeing off, UConn did that on everybody. How's that? Is that good?
Nice.
Is that good? And I didn't even know you were saying teeing off. But the UConn men just teed off on everybody.
Chris, he didn't have anybody write that for him either.
No prompter, no nothing. I didn't even get in his ear.
Good, guys, I can't get nominated every year. It's okay. Yeah. It's all right.
It's not all
I know
right.
You wanted to go to New York.
Yeah.
I know you wanted to go to New York.
Just for dinner.
Just to dinner. They give you a little cheese cube. What are you talking about?
I mean the one we have afterwards.
Let me tell you, that was some good.
The one that we just assume is going to happen and Susie throws together at the last second and it's awesome.
It was delicious.
That dinner you're talking about?
I mean, there might have been a playoff game we could have gone to. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm most upset about. That's what hurts me the most.
Sorry, guys.
The fact that we didn't have that.
You can still do it.
Are you paying?
Oh, we didn't. Oh, we're gonna go.
Are you gonna?
No. Feller, by the way, breaking news to Feller.
Yeah, I had
right
no
now.
Idea.
Oh yeah,
that
yeah.
sucks.
Sorry, buddy.
Just ask Del Tufo. He'll tell you.
Oh, Del Tufo got nominated though. Don't
oh
worry.
Yeah,
of don't worry.
And then we accused him of being happier for himself than he was disappointed in with us.
Yeah.
He
was. Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Don't you think?
Yeah. He was like, "Oh, I got nominated. Oh, great, congratulations."
So
I just miss the camaraderie that we had. But we'll go next year.
Fun trips.
Yep.
We're going to Detroit, people.
We are. We'll be at the draft. By the way, 2 weeks from today, we will know.
Boom.
A lot of the first round answers.
Yeah.
So, at any rate, who's teeing off is the UConn men's basketball team. They won back-to-back championships, and a man who just joined the team to win the back-to-back championship this year is none other than Cam Spencer joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. Congratulations, Cam. How are you doing?
Doing well, Rick. Thanks for having me.
You got it. What you been doing this week? What's this week been like for you?
Just trying to spend as much time as we can with the guys. You know, we don't have too much time left, so just trying to spend as much time with them as possible.
Okay, and how have you spent that time with them?
It's been good. I've been watching the Masters and stuff.
Okay.
I'm a big golfer in the summer, so I was looking forward to watching that. But just hanging out and throwing some darts and stuff like that.
Throwing some darts. That's awesome. With the guys? I mean, are you watching the Masters with them, or are you going out, hitting the town? What can you share with me?
One of our teammates, Andrew Hurley, has a pretty cool setup in his room with the dartboard and a big screen TV. So you watch the Masters and, you know, put some time in on the dart. So you can hustle some people for some money.
Sounds like a Hurley. I'll be straight up with you, Cam. Yeah. You know, sounds pretty much straight up. Okay, so let's just jump into when things clicked. I know you transferred in from Rutgers, and you arrive. And what did you find when you showed up at UConn before last season, Cam?
Yeah, just you know, an unbelievable culture. I think there's, you know, such a winning standard at UConn, and you know, you could see that right away from talking with Coach Hurley. And then once you get on campus, you come to the practice facility and you see all the championships and, you know, all the winning that has taken place here with all the, you know, successful players. And it's definitely just something that you want to be a part of. So, you know, I'd say the culture of accountability and that winning standard were the two things that really stuck out to me.
When did you first meet Dan Hurley?
I met Dan when I got on campus. We had spoken over the phone a few times and set up a visit. And then, you know, I got to meet him on campus for the first time.
So you enter the portal in Rutgers and they reach out to you. I guess when was the first time you heard from UConn, Cam?
Yeah, you just, you know, put your name in the portal and, you know, they have all your information and can reach out to you. So, you know, that I think it was the first day in the portal they had reached out and, you know, I jumped on the phone with Coach Luke Murray to begin. And then, you know, I got on the phone with Coach Hurley and then set up kind of a Zoom with them and, you know, took it from there.
Okay. And so what were they selling that you were up for buying? What did they tell you that you're like, okay, I'm going to UConn?
Just that, like I said, the winning culture, you know, having 1 year left, I wanted to go somewhere where, you know, I could come in and, you know, I wanted to earn my minutes as a player and, you know, earn my respect to the other guys. But you know, I just wanted to be a part of a winning program and, you know, hopefully have a chance to go win a national championship. And, you know, those were really the things that he sold me on. So, you know, I'm very happy that, you know, I got to come to UConn.
And so when you talk to Coach Hurley, what's your first impression when you speak with him?
You know, very similar person. You know, we got to talking pretty quickly about, you know, how our families kind of molded us into who we are today. Super intense guy who, you know, just loved to win and hate to lose. So, you know, we really hit it off from that first phone call. And, you know, I'm so appreciative of Coach Hurley and, you know, I wish I had more time with him, honestly.
Yeah, I know. You mentioned that a couple times here. So, and obviously the fact that they had just won a championship is something that I'm sure you were intrigued by. And so when you finally just show up, what is the first minute where you realized you guys had a shot to do it again, Cam?
To be honest, I would say it was even before I got there. You know, I got to see a workout of the team when I came on my visit because it was a little later and they had already been on campus, I think, for a couple of days. And, you know, I got to see kind of, you know, who I would be playing with and some of the guys that returned from last year's team. And, you know, just kind of putting the pieces together in my head, I thought that, you know, we could do something special with that group on the court. And, you know, ever since day one, they've welcomed me with open arms. And, you know, it was a special team.
Cam Spencer from the UConn men's national championship team right here on the Rich Eisen Show. So what is it about this team that knows there's a target on its back and they just destroy the competition anyway? What is it? Can you put your finger on it for me, Cam?
Yeah, you know, I think it raises your level when you know that you're going to get every team's best shot, and you know they kind of have a target on your back. You know, I think it makes you focus that much more, you know, in practice every day and film and you know, lifting weights, like whatever you're doing, you know that you're going to have to bring your A game to beat teams that are, you know, trying to come after you. So, you know, I think in a way it just kind of elevates your game and adds fuel to the fire in a way.
And, you know, I heard the team has a cardboard cutout of the national championship trophy on an easel for you to see. What'd you think of the first time you saw that, Cam?
I thought it was awesome, to be honest. That's one of my favorite things about Coach Early is, you know, we try to envision like what we want to accomplish. And, you know, every day at practice, we set out for like, I think it was 5 championships of just like, you know, throughout the whole season, between the regular season, Big East championship, the postseason, and a couple other ones, obviously the national championship. And, you know, when you come to practice every day, you literally see your goals of each trophy that you want to win. And I think it just, you know, kind of motivates you to be at your best at practice. So, you know, you can go eventually get those championships.
And we've established again that you've been there, done that, you know, Loyola, then Rutgers, and here, 5 years in college basketball. You're 24 years old, Cam Spencer. I'm sure you've experienced a lot. How many times have you experienced a moment on the basketball court, the ball's in your hand, you feel somebody shove you in the back and it's your head coach during the play, Cam?
To be honest, that was the first.
Okay.
I never had. it was pretty funny because, you know, he pushed me and I think we both started arguing with the ref, like, you know, nothing happened. I had never heard that rule, but the ref was spot on with his call. I had never had that happen, so I didn't even know what to do. But, you know, we went back on defense. I think they scored and the ref was like, hey, you gonna come lie to me like that? Like, I was like, dude, I didn't even know he touched me, honestly. I was so focused in the moment. I go back to the huddle. Coach Early's like, did I push you? And I was like, Coach, I don't even know. Like, I was just focused on the game. I had no idea until after.
So he didn't have any idea he actually made contact with you? Is that what you're saying? He was so in the zone, Cam? Are you saying that?
I think we must have both have been, because he literally was like, did I push you? And I said, Coach, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Oh, he pushed you. He pushed you, but your feet weren't moving, Cam. So I guess you were drawing a charge from you know, with your backside. But what was he trying? Do you think to tell you? Would just run the play, or what was it?
Yeah, I think our call for like a double screen was twin, and he was saying twin, and I was waiting for the second guy to kind of come towards me, but you know, obviously he wanted me to go a little sooner, and. You know, I should have listened to him before, but yeah, I'll take blame for that one.
No, here you go. That's a good UConn Husky right there. And clearly the game plan was to try and defend Zach Edey one-on-one with your teammates and then defend the perimeter. Was that essentially the conversation going into the game? Because that's what it looked like to me, Cam.
Yeah, you know, we had so much respect for Zach Edey as a player. You know, obviously 2-time National Player of the Year for a reason. And, you know, you rarely see games where he doesn't get 20 and 10 or at least, you know, put up some great numbers. So, you know, we knew Donovan would have a handful with him and we wanted to help him in any way that we could. But I think, you know, it was definitely a focus to kind of take away the rest of the guys on the team so that, you know, they would struggle to score elsewhere, because, you know, we were okay with the 2-point shots. We just really wanted to, you know, kind of make the threes tough on them and hopefully try to take them away.
And then offensively, clearly not shying away from going at the big fella. We showed a shot before that we're going to pop up again here. Look at you. Look at you going right at him right there, Cam.
Yeah. That's the highest I've jumped in years.
Well, I mean, you got to get up, right? I mean, you got to get up to try, and he's off the ground too. He might be 8 feet tall right there. You know? Did you score on this one? Do you remember? Did you score?
I think this was in the second half, and I think that one ended up going in. I think so.
Attaboy. All right. So what is next for you, Cam?
Yeah. You know, obviously, I wish I had more time at UConn, but, you know, I'm going to try to go play professional basketball and, you know, go for the NBA, hopefully. So, you know, I'll start training pretty soon for the NBA combine and, you know, hopefully do some workouts with some NBA teams and, you know, go that route like, you know, my brother is up there now. So I want to kind of go chase that after with him.
Do you telling you some good Steph Curry stories, Cam?
He does. Yep. He tried to learn as much as possible from him and, you know, shares the knowledge with me. But, you know, he's very appreciative of the Warriors organization and is in a great spot right now.
All right. And you got a good Bill Murray story for me, Cam? First of all, I'm just going to be honest with you. I got to be honest. You're 24. How many Bill Murray movies have you seen, Cam?
So I've never seen Ghostbusters start to finish.
Okay.
In that one.
Okay.
Caddyshack. I've seen, there are a couple other ones. If you were to say them, I think I've seen, but, they're not coming off the top
Stripes.
Of my head right now.
Have you seen Stripes?
Heard of Stripes, but I haven't seen that one.
Okay.
Lost in Translation
is more dramatic. That's recent. Scrooged.
I haven't seen that one.
Groundhog Day.
Have you seen Groundhog Day?
I've seen clips of Groundhog Day as well.
All right. But you have seen Caddyshack, right? You have?
Caddyshack I've seen.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, you like golf. You have to see it. That's a required, that's required viewing for sure. You know, certainly since you're watching Augusta, and we know that Bill Murray put it right in the hole at Augusta from that film. So you got a good Bill Murray story then? Seeing him around from Coach Luke?
Yeah. He's always, you know, he always brings a good laugh to us for sure when we see him. I would say the only story I have is, you know, I lived in Rhode Island for a few years when I was younger, and there's a good donut spot down there.
Mm-hmm.
And we had good family friends. You know, I rarely get those donuts, and they're pretty good. So, you know, I was looking forward to them after a win. And I get a text from the locker room that Bill Murray is giving away my donuts. You better hurry up and get out here. So.
Okay.
He had given away or eaten a couple of my donuts. So,
oh.
You know, I still have an argument to pick with him about, you know, receiving those other half dozen donuts.
I got you, brother. Okay. Okay. Listen, you snooze, you lose. Cam, you didn't lose this year when it all was coming down to it. Congratulations being part of something historic, and I look forward to chatting with you and seeing what's next for you. Thanks for the time.
Appreciate you, Rich. Thanks for having me.
Right back at you. That's Cam Spencer, NCAA champ from the UConn Huskies, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good kid. Wish him best of luck right there.
Yeah, no doubt.
5 years in. Three at Loyola, one at Rutgers, and decides to transfer into UConn, and that's a good idea.
Yeah, good plan.
Hey, you know, it's kind of interesting. In the same way that NIL and transfer portal seem to have made it even more of an elitist world in college football, it seems to have flattened the earth a bit in college basketball. Not to go full Kyrie on you there, but it does appear to have a different, more positive effect in college basketball. Am I wrong on that one?
Good question.
Although I don't agree with the transfer portal being opened during the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, just wait.
That's nuts.
Just like, what's the harm in waiting until Tuesday after the title game?
Right.
But it does appear to allow kids to show up in other places. And I guess maybe some mid-majors might have an issue with that, since the mid-major kids are the ones that go to the bigger programs and start balling out. I don't know. Just it's an interesting situation right there where he gets another year because of the COVID year, right?
Right.
And he's like, okay, then I'll enter the transfer portal a second time, and I'll go to UConn. And then he wins it all.
Man.
He starts hanging out with Bill Murray and throwing darts with Andrew Hurley, right? And and then winds up being in a national championship game and has Dan Hurley shove him in the back while he's holding the ball during a game.
And neither of them remember it.
They both blacked out.
Yeah.
Got caught up.
How about that, Danner? Did I shove you? Was that me?
I don't know, Coach.
I don't know, Coach. I don't know.
Should I have not done that? That's crazy. I've never seen anything like it.
I mean, it wasn't like a violent shove.
No, but it was like, just like get over there.
You know, it was like Woody Hayes punch.
And he says that, they starts barking at the ref, like, "What? Why are you making that call?" And the ref's like, "If you're going to lie to me, you know, you better be better at it." Is that what he said that the ref said like to him?
Like, hey, why is that a turnover? You didn't see what just happened?
That's wild. It's totally wild. All right, when we come back, your phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. The author, bestseller worldwide, Don Winslow, coming up. Back on the Rich Eisen Show, game time tickets. Get the app, put it on your phone, start buying tickets, certainly to Major League Baseball games, because it's now an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball. Makes tickets getting even faster and easier with Major League Baseball, thanks to the Game Time app. The prices actually go down as it gets closer to the first pitch. Killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, lowest price guarantee. Takes the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. Same thing with basketball, football, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. The all-in pricing feature, I love that the most because it shows you the total up front. There's no surprise fees to check out. Love it. Two taps. That's how fast you can buy tickets with Game Time. Download the app, create the account, use my code RICH. You get $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create the account, redeem my code RICH, and you get $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Garrett in Brick, New Jersey has been hanging on for a while. What's up, Garrett?
Hello. Shout out to the boys in studio, Tommy P style. How we all doing?
Hey.
What's up, man?
I am very pleased to come here and for some reason have to defend you from the YouTube comments section. Good Lord,
yeah, it's
people,
bad.
What is going on?
It's been rough, but it's okay. I can handle it. I sit here every day and I love all fans best I can.
So first of all, that's appreciated. As a Giants fan, shout out to Brockman, a fellow season ticket holder, though your season tickets are a little questionable at best, but I digress.
Two games last
basically, week. What's one thing we have to remember? Ohtani is not your friend, YouTube. He is not your best buddy that the national media just slandered all over the place. Are we supposed to be surprised that a daily talk show talks about something and reacts to something live as it's happening? I just don't understand the shock, to be honest. I understand people saying, well, maybe wait. But I don't understand the outrage, and I'm hoping it's not just me.
I don't know what else to say, Garrett. I mean, I've gotten a lot of you've mentioned the comments in our YouTube section. Somebody was like, hit me up saying he probably regrets taking a picture with you and your son.
Yeah, right.
I saw that comment. That was absolutely ridiculous.
You know, and honestly,
you don't go after the family pictures.
No,
on,
it's just, but I'm the one who put them on the air, you know? And so listen, but I can take it. I just want to make sure I acknowledge it and try and describe to people who feel that way why I was doing it. Because in our day and age, I think there are some folks who think that, individuals in positions like the one that I'm fortunate to sit in every day do it just to make them irate or make them click on something. It's not. Every time I say something, you know, and so they might not be familiar with the show or think that they really know me as an individual, you know.
If I may say one more quick thing.
Sure.
You do have this is why it shocked me so much. Your community on YouTube, on all your socials, is normally so absolutely pristine. It's one of the best communities I've ever seen online, and I've been a part of many of them. This just shocked me, honestly.
Well, I think that, again, thanks for the call, Garrett, and I appreciate the attaboy from
you. Brother.
Thanks,
Garrett.
You know, I don't know. Do I even go here? Does it matter?
Well, I mean,
does it matter why I think it's fine? Ohtani is insanely popular. And some of the comments that we've been mentioning here of skepticism might be viewed as an affront to them. And so, and a lot of folks might be surfing in or hearing what I'm saying and whatever. All I know is, you know, where I've wound up. And again, having read this entire document, this entire affidavit that lays everything out in full detail, in full detail. The only criticism that can be levied at Ohtani right now is naivete, potentially? And allowing somebody that can't, although he met this, yeah. I don't know, he met this guy 11 years ago. So why wouldn't he keep trusting him? You know, or I guess the criticism, if this is such a criticism, it's like, you know, he makes so much money he couldn't notice $16 million of it disappearing. I don't think he's getting that money back, by the way. I don't think that money's way gone, right?
Where would it come from?
Yeah.
Huh?
Where would it come from?
Grab an extra $16 million.
I don't know. Maybe what it could come from is that if they seized anything from the illegal bookmaking operation of value, that gets sold. And right. But I don't know.
Yeah.
And the criticism is that he didn't check his accounts. I don't know. There's no criticism, really. That's... And the criticism that was out there is that he was untruthful, which is clearly not the case. 844-204-RICH being the number to dial here on the program. Looks like Max Homa dropped a shot. Is that where we're at right
Max
now?
Max Homa just bogeyed 11.
Oh, do you want the drop, by the way?
Oh, sure.
We got a Masters update drop. We put it together and go ahead. He can hit it.
Time for a Masters update.
Okay. I don't know if it treats Augusta National with the respect it deserves.
let me give the hushed tone.
No, please don't do that.
Really?
Yeah, really.
I'd like to.
You really? You like it?
But yeah, you're like on the mug.
You
so
like it? No. I'm not on the mug. I'll defer. I'll defer if you think it's good. It's just...
There is a time to it. Limit to it.
Okay, go for it, Chris.
Just talk over.
You're the update guy. Give me the update. How you see fit?
Max Homa, the leader for most of this second round, has dropped a shot at 11. He's back to -6. Bryson DeChambeau, he's also at -6 after a bogey on 4. He's on the 7th tee right
DeChambeau.
Now.
What's this music?
You're also co-leader Nicolai Højgaard. With a birdie on 13, he is at 6.
It's a good thing I told you about that. Actually, with a slash through it, so how to pronounce it.
Back to back.
I shouldn't have done it so we could have heard him say, whatever. You'd have turned down the opportunity to say his name, right?
I would have just totally punted. Nicolai. Okay. He'd just been Nicolai.
Okay.
Yeah, just brutal, yeah. Scotty Scheffler going to tee off in minutes. So we have a four-way lead right now at 600 par at Augusta.
Where's El Tigre? Lead,
Cam Davis is T5 right now at 3 under.
How many guys named Cam are in the field?
There's a lot. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot.
Is it the most? Yeah. It's the most.
Well, it ain't Nicolai. That's
shared
for sure.
Name. Okay.
Tiger for par on 11 drains it. He's at +1.
Okay. Is that the cut line?
Cut line looking at +3 right now.
Oh, okay.
Now.
So Tiger's is looking good. Where's Fred Couples? Is he within the cut line?
You know what? Freddie was having some back issues.
Oh, no.
Before the round, from what I had heard. He is
way back,
well below the cut line. He's 11 over.
Oh,
on 18 right now. Not going to make it.
So Fred will not make the weekend.
Some big names going to have to get hot here quick. Jordan Spieth is 7 over.
Wow.
Justin Rose is 7 over on 18. Sam Burns is 6 over on 13 right now. Adam Scott, former winner, 6 over. Keegan Bradley, 6 over.
Dustin Johnson was 5 over after one round.
Dustin Johnson was 1 over this morning. He had finished this morning. 1 over on the back 9 this morning.
Yeah.
Back-to-back doubles got him to 5, and now he is 10 over.
Whoa.
On 10th tee right now.
So let's...
great.
So where are the live guys? Who's the top-ranked live guy?
Top ranked live guy. Well, Bryson DeChambeau is six under. Yeah.
All right. So then where is the rest?
Patrick Reed is 1 under.
Okay.
Cam Smith is yet to tee off. He's 1
under. You can stop
under.
The music right now. My God. My God. I got put in that same zone that I get put in sometimes after the kids leave the car and I forget. You know, I'm still driving first few minutes.
Baby Shark's still playing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was back in the day. Kids was
Bop
Baby
is
Shark.
Still on.
Kids Bop was still on, and I'm like thinking, wait a minute, I don't have to listen to this.
Phil's 1 over through 3. John Rahm is yet to tee off. Not a great showing from the Liv crew outside of Bryson.
Right.
Right now.
Right now, that music is as has morphed from Kidz Bop into some former Disney TV star that is now a major pop star somewhere.
Oh yeah,
yeah. There's a lot of those young ladies.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
I listen to a lot of Kidz Bop.
I just
do. You really right now? Are you you're in the Kidz Bop zone?
We're in Kidz Bop.
What is Cage listening to right now?
He likes Kidz Bop, but then you know he'll want to listen to. He likes some old 90s country that Sarah just plays all the time.
Oh, really?
So he likes listening to that. And then sometimes he likes Cars, you know, Life is a Highway.
Oh, my gosh.
He likes anything from Moana and Encanto.
Okay. Yeah. So you're in the Disney.
Yeah, we're Disney Plus Kidz Bop zone. Easily our most go-to on the
app.
On Roku. We're okay. Just like bebopping around. Oh, Disney, obviously.
There it is. Okay, yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yep. Firmly locked.
I like it. Yeah. Good for you. And how's Cage's T-ball going?
Great. Game number two tomorrow, barring weather here in L.A. It's
okay.
Supposed to rain over the weekend.
How did game one go for him?
Game one was long. I mean, they're an hour, but each team only got one at-bat. They're hoping to get two or three at-bats. But
what do you care about the length? What do you care? What else you got going on?
Nothing, but have you seen four-year-olds play sports?
Excuse me.
Yeah, it's brutal.
I know. Brutal?
Well,
what are you talking about?
Come
really
on,
Dad.
It's not organized.
Come on. You're never going to get this sign in front of you with comments like that.
Right. Well, I should post a video. When Cage got up to bat, the coaches go, you might want to have your kids back up.
Okay.
And so they had everybody back up.
Oh, that had to make you feel so good.
It was great. It was very satisfying. But also, like, safety-wise, they didn't want to hit one of these kids off the dome, you know?
I've seen the video of this,
and
by the way.
And he ripped it by everyone.
What was the exit velocity?
Great question. 80s?
80?
No, I don't know.
Seriously? Like,
no,
what's
I don't know.
Can we potentially put a gun on it? What do you think?
Is there an app for that? It's got to be Exit Velo app.
It's an Exit Velo app.
Okay, well,
can you do that for next time?
Let me work on it for next time.
Can you do that for next time, please?
Yeah, I will. Yeah.
He was basically
fielding every ground ball, and then they made him go to first base because nobody can catch it. Mm-hmm. So because he was just hucking him at people, yeah.
Oh, look at you humble bragging how your son was most ready for T-ball.
I would say he's easily the best 4-year-old in this league.
Does he need to be told to run?
No. He knows where he's going.
He knows where he's going. He knows when to go.
Yeah.
He
can play up
him.
With the 5-year-olds, I'm guessing.
Really?
All
right.
Yeah. But.
Danny Almonte Brockman over there, huh?
He's actually 4.
Okay. Are we sure? Should we check his birth certificate?
Remember, we were here when he was born.
All right. That's hour number 2 in the books. I saw the video. He sent me the video.
Oh, I thought there was
another. I sent a video
gotcha.
Of the
We exchanged moments. We FaceTimed him before we left Costa Rica when we were on some tour viewing monkeys. So
that was before the game.
It was before the game. That's how Cage got ready is we FaceTimed, like, look at these monkeys in Costa Rica.
And then he didn't want to get dressed.
And then he showed, like, oh, and then he sends us the video. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed the everybody back up.
Yeah.
I enjoyed him. Did he have like a bat twirl of some sort?
He likes the bat flip.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he did that. And then he smoked it. Right. It went right to center field.
Yeah,
right center field.
Right by everybody.
He went with the pitch.
He did.
Despite it being on the tee.
Yep. He could have pulled it. Didn't. He was like, no, I'm going to hit to the right side.
But that wasn't my favorite part of the video. You know what's my favorite part of the video?
I know what your favorite part of the video is, and nobody cares.
The interlocking NY. Of the New York Yankees on his son's jersey. Oh, baby.
It's a total fun.
Oh, yeah.
That's
however,
why you're not.
Oh,
drinks.
Yeah.
However,
I'm
how much
so excited.
Left? So he hit a missed picture day, which is.
Come on.
I'm not sad about it.
You've
got to
make it up. You've
got to
make it up.
I'm not sad about it.
Excuse me, Chris. Get over it.
Hold on.
To see this photograph.
It wasn't my fault.
For the rest of your life.
We have pictures and videos on our phones. No, we have tons.
No. It's not the same. It's an official.
Do you want it? It seems like you want the picture more than me.
No. I'm telling you, as a dad, you want this photograph for the rest of your life.
I don't care. He's wearing a Yankee jersey.
There's a makeup day, and Uncle Rich wants a picture. You get it?
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.